Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Oh, it's back at the 10, and it's 3rd and 14. From the goal line, watch out! Ball is out! Picked up for the touchdown! Preston Smith recovers it!
Iconic Preston Smith play. From the 2017 season, a sack fumble from Ryan Kerrigan on Dak Prescott. And then that fumble resulted in a touchdown as Smith scooped and scored. Go crazy at the time, FedEx Field.
That was
Who
a
called
blast.
That play, Danny?
Jim Nantz?
That's Jim Nantz.
Yeah.
There you go. CBS, NFL number one crew. Speaking of which, our NFL conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So the Preston Smith edition is really interesting to me. I actually think he is a dead ringer for what they're trying to do right now up front on the edge. He's kind of a, I don't want to say younger version, because he's actually not younger at all. He's older. But he's similar to Dietrich Wise in a lot of ways. He's 32 years old. He's huge. He's 6'5", 265, so he's a massive person. They want an edge setter who can be tough against the run. And I think Preston Smith, if you tell him, this is how we need you to commit, we need you to help us stop the run on the outside here, I think he can be that guy. For 4 years here, then 5 years in Green Bay, then a half season with the Packers last year before being traded to the Steelers at the deadline, he was able to do some of those things. He's super long. He's got length. He can keep tackles off of him. I was wondering and worried about how they're going to replace Wise. I didn't think they had the personnel to necessarily do that. But I actually think Smith gives them a much better chance than what they had in the building before that. No delusions of grandeur here. I know he had 8 sacks a couple years ago. I think whatever you get as a, from a pass rush standpoint is probably a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think his size will help them. They needed that.
Yeah. Here's what I don't know. I don't know what he is right now this minute. I mean, the most of the time when he was in, you know, he was in Washington, then he was in Green Bay, I had a pretty good feel for it. I always felt like he was a slightly underrated player in that regard because he didn't come through with, I mean, he had one season, I think, of double-digit sacks, but I think he had 12. But for the most part, this was a maybe at times boring and unsexy, little bit of a run stuffer, pretty accountable on the edge, solid all around, pretty good, but never going to be the like TJ Watt headliner or Khalil Mack headliner or, you know, huge difference maker, but you could do a lot worse is kind of the point. I don't know. I didn't follow what he was doing the last couple of seasons, honestly, as closely. So it was interesting that nobody else was interested, right? I mean, didn't that surprise you at all that at this stage, a couple of weeks into a season, you could just go grab Preston Smith? It makes me a little bit dubious that this is like panacea from heaven and we've solved it.
That's a really good point. I mean, and that is the argument, I would say, against him having a big impact or being a super helpful player is, why was he available on September 17th? You've got three organizations that you've played for going back now to the 2024 season, basically, where at some point, somewhere along the way, or I should say the 2023 season, but whether it's Green Bay or Pittsburgh most recently, someone could have said, we either want him or there's enough tape there. Play a lot of teams within the division. Somebody says, you know, he's a useful player. We'll keep him. Now, Dan Quinn did say they've been talking about him extensively for a while. And in reaching out to his camp today and having a quick conversation, it sounds like, you know, there was a lengthy dialogue this offseason about Preston Smith. My guess is probably before they signed Wise or around that time, where they're looking for size on the edge, and he was one of the guys on their short list. Why they didn't decide on him over Wise or why they didn't bring him in with Wise, I don't know. Why he didn't have another home?
Maybe not, price tag, honestly. I mean,
it's possible.
Yeah.
The other thing sometimes with these guys is, like, if you're Preston Smith, maybe you're at a point in your career. It's funny because we think of him as the second round pick that they just drafted who's a young kid. But maybe you're only going to go to a contender because you want a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're only going to go to a place where you're actually going to play a lot at this point of your career. And that wasn't an available thing when he could have signed right before training camp. So he was like holding out for that. And now you get that opportunity. So you were just waiting for an injury and it happened. There's a lot of possible reasons, but I do agree with you. My antenna's up a little bit when you're signing a guy who for 2 weeks of the NFL season was not on a payroll. This was Dan Quinn at his presser today on Smith.
We've actually discussed Preston for a while. Edge, he's strong, you know, proven pass rush ability. We liked his size too. And so with Dietrich being injured, if we had another chance to add another person to that group, it seemed like the fit. And so I've followed him for a long time. I feel like it's one of those players I've known but didn't have a chance to coach and always have wanted to. And so when he was able to come in for the workout and be here, it just felt like a good fit. He saw him hanging out with Kerrigan, you know, for them playing some years together and having that person, okay, this is what we do here, this is how it's going. I'm hopeful that Ryan can help on that onboarding process, but this is a veteran guy who will get up to speed quick. You can tell he's a bright guy, but you can tell he really worked hard to get himself in shape to be ready for the op when it came, and he had a few of them.
That's pretty cool, by the way. He was here. Kerrigan was his mentor as like the veteran player at the time.
That's neat.
Who's showing you the ropes, and now he's your position coach. So you come back, and that's about the only thing that you know. I was thinking about seeing this organization through the lens that is Preston Smith, and when you were here, what it was. They were called the Redskins. It's a different ownership group. Every person in the building in every single role is no longer here, basically.
Way more Bruce than you want.
Now you've got a real front office and general manager. You've got, obviously, a coaching staff is different. That's going to happen in a lot of buildings, right? But nothing is similar. The locker room's been completely redone. It's now gorgeous and pristine. You ain't sitting on a stool anymore at your stall, Preston. You know, you got the big padded seats and the beautiful locker room that you've seen. All the facilities have been massively upgraded and renovated, and they poured millions into those. That old AstroTurf field is no longer out there in Ashburn. Beautiful new practice fields as well. I mean, it's all lipstick on a pig of a facility if you're comparing it to an SEC team or, you know, these big money programs in school or some of the top gorgeous facilities like Seattle's on the water in the NFL. But still, I mean, you walk in that door and you go, what team is this? It's not like you've played here before. This is an expansion team. This is an entirely different thing from the name to everything else.
Totally. And the culture of it, I know that's that word is people always roll their eyes, but that's the biggest thing. It's like, you know, new coats of paint happen or new carpet happens or, you know, a couple employees here and there are different. But the idea that this is a completely different organization than he walked out of to come back, however, what is it, like 7 years later, is pretty remarkable. But yeah, I mean, there are a couple free agent defensive ends or edge type players that were sort of lingering out there, that names that you recognize, right? And he's been, I would say, among the more productive of them. I mean, I'm surprised, frankly, that they haven't called Carl Lawson, who I think played for Dan Quinn in Dallas, who hasn't been a juggernaut, but, you know, was a part-time defensive end like Dante Fowler was before, like a Dorrance Armstrong was before, that 4 or 5 sack type window. But it clearly tells you they wanted this type of player, maybe more so than a pass rusher.
Well,
this is the early down defender. Yeah.
It's size. It's stopping the run size, and then, you know, you get the little bonus if he rushes the quarterback. But again, 8 sacks just a couple of years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying if you look at his pass rush win rate or any of this stuff, it jumps off the page. Because if it did, I promise you he would have had a gig. You can't be a stellar pass rusher and not get phone calls. That does not work as an edge. If you're not getting calls, if you're not on a team right now, it's because you're probably not a good bet to get to the quarterback a whole lot. But if he gives you a little bonus there and he can get home. For a team, by the way, where's your pressure coming from traditionally off the edge? We've said Von Miller is going to be their closer. He's been whisper quiet as a pass rusher, albeit not a lot of snaps. It's a very small sample. But through 2 games, has he been overly noticeable? I mean, they didn't get any pressure on Jordan Love.
None.
They had, I think, 2 statistical sacks, one of which he kind of fell down and gave himself up, and Armstrong played 2-hand touch. But other than those 2 sacks, they had 1 more play where they hit Jordan Love in the entire football game.
And that's without a lineman or two from Green Bay, kind of a regular group. So, yeah, that was discouraging on all fronts. That was, I mean, we we talked about a million different angles. That was one of dozens that didn't go particularly well for Washington, but that one was a bit alarming. That group couldn't kind of go nuts right there against that offensive line. I mean, because again, they did their job with the run stopping. You held Josh Jacobs to mid 3 yards per carry. I will take that every single time, always. It was the next phase. The whole point of this renovation of the defensive front was, can we stop the run on early downs to put us in good second and long, third and long type situations? They got that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get home or couldn't come close.
I asked Logan this question on the new Take Command pod, which you guys should check out. Take Daniels out of the equation. Of the other injuries here, I'm not even talking Eckler and Wise because we covered that yesterday, but the smaller, shorter term things. So we're talking Noah Brown at wide receiver, which means maybe more Chris Moore. John Bates, who might miss this game, which means elevating somebody from practice squad, and more Ben Sinnott. Who's the sneaky injury where you think they're going to miss somebody? Jonathan Jones, the corner, has been placed on injured reserve. I think not having John Bates is huge.
Bates.
Especially the way Connerly's played and the inability to hold up so far in pass pro, and with Max Crosby coming to town. I worry about not having the big de facto third tackle. I would actually dress and plan on playing Trent Scott in like a jumbo look as a quote-unquote tight end, but like a two-tackle situation where I just handcuff him to Josh Connerly a bunch whenever I'm trying to do anything down the field.
Get out of my head, Grant. Literally my answer, and that's why. Normally I'd go, yeah, you know, he really helps in the run game, and he does. Bates is an excellent inline blocker. Every big run, you can go find Bates there somewhere, but it's because of the Max Crosby angle.
Let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline really quickly. Eric Flack's kind enough to give us a ring. He's actually covering everything going on today, but he has a couple of minute respite here to jump on with us, so we want to get the latest on this stadium deal. I don't want to say it's in peril, but it's certainly shifting all the time. So, Eric, give us what you know about some of the amendments that the D.C. City Council is trying to crowbar in at the last second and just how upset the team is about it.
Last question first. The team is pretty perturbed, upset about all this. The main headlines are there's an ask that the team be penalized somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $14 million a year if they don't meet timelines that were outlined to provide affordable housing, 6,000 units. There are a number of different environmental asks, including saving a number of heritage trees that are around the site, as well as making it a LEED certified, environmentally friendly zero waste stadium. And then there's a lot of debate about that third parking garage and who gets to ultimately decide whether or not that third parking garage gets built. All of those issues have been in negotiation all day. The team did send a really angry letter saying the threatening council, saying they were jeopardizing the deal. There have been discussions all day, and it looks like the majority of those issues have been worked out. But all of that still remains unclear as they have yet to actually get to the RFK issue down here at DC Council.
So they're voting on these amendments as well as the stadium deal. The stadium deal is almost certainly going to pass because they only need 7 votes. They got 9 last time. But what do we know about whether the amendments will pass then? Because that's when the team would be furious, and now this is a deal they never agreed to.
Right. So the amendments come first, and I've been told that the team has, and it's been very unclear, but they've worked out whatever issues there were with the environmental stuff. So whether or not that's in the form of an amendment that actually gets voted on and approved or not, that has been worked out. I've been told that the amendment for all this money, these penalties, is still going to go forward, but it's going to fail. If it were to pass somehow, that would become problematic because that in a turn is something the team has not agreed to. So ultimately an amendment would become part of the deal that ultimately is passed and voted on. But if it's a deal that the team is not happy with, and it's a deal that the team is not, you know, obligated by DC Council to follow through with. But all indications are that after a lot of hand wringing down here, yet to be seen, but behind closed doors, a lot of these issues we think have been worked out, but nothing's official.
Where did these things come from? The last minute amendments.
Yeah. Just politics being politics. One of them, the big one with the money, comes from Matthew Frumman, who voted against the deal to begin with. He's a council member out there, and he voted against it, didn't think DC was getting a good enough deal. The environmental stuff came from, I'm not sure which council members, but in a larger sense, various council members have a second opportunity here with this second vote to get various other things added into the deal. It's just the way the sausage is made down here. And so at the 11th hour, a lot of council members came and added in some things that they thought they can get jammed in. And in fact, Fruman said, we need to negotiate hard with this team till the last second, because that's what they would do with us. And you had council members like Brooke Pinto who said, we've already agreed to this deal. We shouldn't be changing it now. But there were people who just wanted to hold the team's feet to the fire to the 11th hour and get whatever they could out of the team while they still had the chance. And that's, I think, what ultimately angered the team. But again, I think cooler heads have prevailed, we think.
All right. So it sounds like maybe some progress is being made. Before we let you go, give us the final timeline here today. I know it's their first day back in session, so there's a million different things they're voting on. Only a couple that, you know, for the sake of this show and the Commanders conversation, that people are locked in on. But when are the amendments supposed to be voted on in the stadium deal, or do we not have a timeline?
It all happens in one big kit and caboodle, and it should happen in about an hour. So the hope is by the time we go on Channel 9 at 5, 6 o'clock that we have a stadium deal. But they're working through another big rental issue right now. Stadium deal is up next. So hopefully, I would say by the time you guys go off the air, we have a deal for a new stadium for the Washington Commanders.
And then agree or disagree then with my theory that the stadium deal, whether it passes or not, the only thing that matters is do any of these amendments that the team doesn't like pass or not.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't even think we're going to get there. I mean, the whatever passes, the stadium deal, the amendments become part of the deal if they pass. So they're not like a separate deal. So if the amendments become part of the deal, and then, you know, if it's something the team didn't like, then they can pass a deal that the team won't agree to all they want. But yes, I mean, you're
saying
right.
That's unlikely to happen because cooler heads will prevail and the council will say we can't pass.
They're not going to. The one that was really a non. Well, there was a couple that were introduced by Treon White that, quite honestly, didn't even make sense and weren't really rooted in the way the world works. So those were non-starters. But the one that did have potential, this one about penalizing the team, that one is going to be introduced, but as of now, we are told doesn't have the votes to pass. That's the one that could hold up the deal. If somehow the amendment to penalize them $10 to $14 million a year for not meeting benchmarks to build affordable housing on the timeline that is already laid out, if that were to pass, then it becomes problematic. But it does become part of the deal that ultimately the DC council would have to approve.
Eric, thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate
it. Thank
you, Ron. And I know you do too. Thank you.
But
he's the best. Eric Flack, check him out on WUSA TV9 on the news this evening. He'll have the latest. Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Down the stretch we come. Nats baseball coming your way pregame and then first pitch. Pregame's about 8 minutes out. Mackenzie Gore is on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Our segments with him every week on the show are presented by Main Street Bank, Cheer Local, Bank Local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Mackenzie, last night was a slog. I mean, you pitched really well, 5 2/3 scoreless innings, but it was cold, it was wet, it was windy. There weren't a lot of people in the stands. Kind of a bring-your-own-energy night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, you know, bring some energy. I mean, it's still a big league game, so there's still, you know, there's a lot on the line, and you're playing a really good lineup, and Chris Sale's pitching, so you have a good idea of what the game's going to be like. But yeah, you know, strange 2-hour delay and raining on, yeah, at the end of the year. And, but so it's kind of weird going in, but it's still a big league game. So you got a lot of adrenaline and, you know, there's some things you have to do. So you pitch well, and I was able to do that for the most part.
On a night where you're pitching like last night, I'm sure the answer is different. So tell us what you were doing during the 2-hour delay last night, but on a non-pitch night, what are you doing during a delay of 2 hours? That's a long time.
On a non-pitch night, a whole lot of nothing. Just kind of hanging out, wondering if we're going to play or not. It's kind of what you do. Yeah. You end up eating a lot, just sitting around. And the rain delays are pretty boring, though. They're pretty boring.
So, but for last night, when did you know there was going to be a delay? And how does that affect your routine? I imagine one of the harder things, kind of underrated, would be getting up, getting ready, and then, nope, hold off, and now we got to ramp that process back up again. When did you know, and how does that affect your routine?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't like a final word or a, hey, we are going to be in a delay until probably a little after 6. I knew that they needed 45 minutes after they took the tarp off, so I knew I would have some time whenever that was. But, you know, it's kind of weird because when you start, you're pretty locked in all day, and you kind of have to turn it off for a little bit once you've learned that there's going to be an hour or so that you have to wait, just because if you're trying to focus for that long, you'll be exhausted. So you kind of turn it off, stay loose, and then when you have an idea of when the game's going to start, you kind of lock it back in and get ready to go.
You were dealing there pretty much all night on a tough night for all hitters, for both lineups. You guys both, you imagine Chris Sale pitch for pitch. How did you feel when you came out of the game, and, you know, did you feel like you could have gone more?
Yeah, I mean, we knew going in that was going to be at 90, just coming off. We went like, 78 last time, mm-hmm. coming off the IL, and so 90 was the number. And so I knew that was probably going to be enough, and I kind of settled in. The rain kind of stopped in, what, the third inning or so? And I think we both kind of settled in, and I got rolling there after the first. And, I felt good. You know, body's recovered well after taking 2 weeks off. And, I think this stuff was probably a little better last night than it was the start before, which was kind of expected. So
does that mean in your next start, you can be back to 105 pitches, or do you stay at 90 now? What's kind of the timeline?
Yeah, I should be full go next start. I mean, what that ends up being pitch count wise, you know, you never, don't really know going in, but I will be full go. There'll be no hard pitch count or anything going into the next one. So
how does the night where you mentioned it was raining, it was sprinkling on and on throughout, then there were times it was coming down even harder, how does that affect you on the mound in terms of grip and feel and everything? Do you have to tweak anything?
Yeah, when it's wet, you know, it's tough. You know, the mound gets wet. Obviously, everybody has to deal with this. And I do have a long stride, so that's usually interesting to deal with in the rain. Sometimes you got to shorten the stride a little bit, and then the ball gets wet. But, I mean, you can get a new ball pretty easy. So just understanding that it's going to be wet out there, and maybe shorten the stride a little bit and get the foot down a little earlier just so we don't slip.
Nats ace. Left-hander Mackenzie Gore is with us on Grant and Danny. Mac, I know you're not overly involved in monitoring all of this, all right? I get that. But I am just curious, as a guy who's one of the veterans and leaders in the clubhouse, you know, you guys are ongoing with your GM search right now. They're going to be a new executive running the show potentially this offseason and maybe a new manager. I'm just wondering what you kind of hope the future looks like for this team, and if you have any thoughts going into the offseason here of of what this thing could and should look like moving forward in terms of bringing pieces in and getting active again as someone who's a mainstay and an important piece to this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything starts from the top, so I think that's a very important going into the offseason. I'm sure, you know, they're going to hire whoever they think the best fit is. As a player, I just want to, you know, get the most out of everybody in the clubhouse, and I think that starts from the front office, and yeah, I think that's something we haven't necessarily done the past few years. We've had guys have good years. I'm not saying that. But we just, you know, we haven't won enough games, and it's been frustrating. But we do have some really exciting players, James, CJ, Dylan. You know, Dalen's had a really nice rookie year, and there's some other pieces I'm leaving out. But we've got some guys that can play, and we just want to get the most out of this group. I think that's what the best teams do. No matter how much the player's making, they get the most out of that player. And I think that's something we have to figure out how to do here.
Yeah, maximizing potential, right? Like, if everyone reaches their ceiling, it's a different-looking ball club. Is there something specific? Is that a front office thing or a coaching thing? Like, how do you guys actually do that?
I'm not sure what the answer is. I do know that, unfortunately, we didn't win enough games this year. And a lot of that is on the players. We are the ones out there. But we just got to figure out a way as a group to just be a little better. I wish I knew the answer, but I get paid to try to get people out, not to figure out what that answer is. But I do think that's something we need to do as a group, and it's on the players, but I think it's everybody. It's the whole organization. So
how has Sean Doolittle been able to work with you, a guy that, you know, most of the Nats fans remember pitching, it seems like 5-10 minutes ago. Now he's got like a pen in his hat, and he's, you know, Mr. Calming Presence on the mound, covering his mouth, letting, you know, no one know what he's saying. What's it like been working with him?
Yeah, me and Dude kind of built a great relationship. And it's been cool with him too, because he's kind of learning the coaching side as he's, you know, going into this year. He was just, it seemed like he did a great job last year, and he was even better this year. I've really enjoyed working with him. He's helped me a lot. I think he's, you know, a big part of the reason I've been able to make strides and continue to get better. So he's been great to have around, and he's really smart. And I think he's kind of the same way. He's going to continue to get better as a coach, and he seems like he really enjoys it.
Mackenzie Gore, ace of the Nationals on Grant and Danny. Mackenzie, we appreciate it, brother. Finish the season strong and look forward to catching up next week.
All right, will do.
That was the leadoff brought to you by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man's been the educational window company. Get your free and home estimate or visit thewindowman.com's all-new Fairfax showroom. Big thanks to Mackenzie Gore, presented by Main Street Bank, all season long, every week, right here on Grant and Danny. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Tomorrow on the show, we've got a major announcement. We're excited to tell you about something the show is going to be doing this season that is awesome. You'll want to keep it glued to 106.7 The Fan tomorrow for that announcement. Thanks to Darius, Ryan, and Toby behind the scenes. Grant and Danny saying so long. Nats pregame is up next. Tomorrow, a real-life full radio show, we promise.
We can do it!
4.5 hours. It's going to happen.
Sounds like a long time.
So long. But the Nationals are not playing a day game, which is unbelievable. And tomorrow, we'll be with you from 2 to 6.30 on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.